It's from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken.' Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God."
We continue with the responsory on page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
In the name of Jesus, amen. In reply to the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of "Follow me," the answer given more and more in our time is this: "Why must I follow you, Jesus? I want to have it my way." And we all know that the customer is always right 127% of the time. There is great confusion in our world, and even within the wider Christian church, about who God is and what he has done and what that he continues to do and will do in our lives. There is debate whether God the Father actually created the heavens and the earth, of all things visible and invisible. Some wonder why Jesus had to condescend himself in the first place from his heavenly throne to ransom us poor sinners. Questions arise about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit leading new believers to conversion
and believers like you and me to daily repentance. On this Holy Trinity Sunday, along with biblical confessional Christians around the world, we boldly and joyfully confess the truth of the Athanasian Creed. We confess one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. We confess that God the Father has made us, that God the Son, Jesus Christ, redeemed us, and that God the Holy Spirit is continuing to connect the church to the Father through the merits of the Son, our Lord, Savior, and brother. In today's reading from Acts, St. Peter recalled the prophecy of David that God the Father would send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die and rise again for the salvation of God's people, and that the promise of the Holy Spirit had come. On this Trinity Sunday, we give thanks for the unity of the Godhead and for the three persons who made us, saved us, and keep us in the true faith. And right at the start of God's revealed word to us, we learn of God the Father's work in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. We are not confused as the world is on this. This is our confession that God the Father made everything. We confess that God did it ex nihilo, out of nothing. By his almighty power and through his voice, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We don't know the inner workings of this power, but we confess the truth of it. In his divine love, God made the heavens and the earth. His creation was good. He made it all. The stars, the sky, the water, the land, all the plants, all the prettiness out there, God made it. And he made you and me, man and woman. In his image, he created us. And he commanded us to be fruitful and multiply, thus involving mankind in the ongoing plan. And from there, in our confession, we confess the truth of God the Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 states that Jesus was at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God and was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God the Father's creation was very good, but not all stayed well. Sin entered the world through the fall of Adam and Eve, and the first promise of the Savior was uttered way back then. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Jesus is the Savior from Peter's sermon in today's reading from Acts. He was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You see, Jesus is God's rescue plan for humanity. Jesus, true God, became man. He remains true God and true man. He took our punishment upon himself. And Jesus himself described his mission to Nicodemus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." It's through Jesus Christ that all sins of humanity are paid for. Humanity, you and me and everybody, broke God's holy law. First with good old Adam and Eve, and everything we've added to the mess. But we must remember, all sins were paid for on that bloody cross, and forgiveness needs to come from outside of us. And note that burning coal from the Old Testament reading. Forgiveness comes from God, Jesus Christ, true God and true man, won forgiveness for you, each and every single one of you. And his merits, that forgiveness is freely given. And in this reset of the cross, we have true peace and an eternal advocate in heaven for us. St. John, later on in his first epistle, explains this reality. Little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. As Jesus went home after his resurrection to prepare a place for us, as he promised, in humility, we plead to him, our advocate, our eternal defense attorney, for the forgiveness of sins throughout our earthly journey. We are not perfected yet, dear saints. That will come when we are called home to heaven. And we have a great place to go, where Jesus, our Lord and Savior and brother, lives, and you too will live there. He will wipe every tear from your eye and blot out all of our transgressions. This is the joy of the gospel we confess. This is what we share in this dark and broken world. So having confessed two persons of the Trinity, we've got the third one, God the Holy Spirit. The question often is raised, who is the Holy Spirit? We have several examples from the Old Testament. Back in Genesis 1, he hovered over the waters and was involved in creation with the Father and the Son. The prophet Nehemiah noted that the Holy Spirit was sent to instruct the people of Israel through the prophets. Job confessed, "But it is the Spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding." And we use the psalmist's reference to the Holy Spirit in our divine service. "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me." In the New Testament, Jesus in John chapter 14 called the Holy Spirit the Helper. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, God's Son, equates the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to himself. The Father sent Jesus. The Father also sent the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. The Spirit is another helper for you and for me. And God continues to help his people by first sending his Son to redeem them, and then to send the Holy Spirit to bring them to himself and to keep us in the true faith. Please note that God didn't send an employee to do this. God himself saved us, and God himself connects ourselves to him. But what does the Holy Spirit do today? Well, like we just heard, the Holy Spirit keeps us connected to the Father through the Son. And the Nicene Creed helps to explain how this works. The Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. He has spoken through the prophets. God continues to speak to us through the Holy Scriptures and the proclaimed word from pastors in his church. And as we celebrated last Sunday on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's at work in the church. He leads us all to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. He connects all of us to the Father through Christ. The Spirit leads people to conversion through the preached word and sacraments. Thanks be to God that the Holy Spirit caused the authors of Scripture to record the truth. We have the truth and can read it every day. And by speaking through the prophets and working through the church today, the Holy Spirit brings the proclaimed word and sacraments throughout the whole world. And here's your part. Through the royal priesthood of all believers, the Holy Spirit leads you to spread the gospel through your family, friends, and network. The Holy Spirit continues to lead and govern the true Christian church. And in the assigned gospel text for today, we have the profound and deep conversation of Jesus with Nicodemus. John 3:16 has got to be one of the most, if not the most, quoted scriptures around. If you've ever seen football games on TV, who's in the end zone? John 3:16 on a big old sign. It's been called a gospel in the nutshell. But it's deeper and more profound than this. We need to listen to the slightly wider statement from Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But before we go on and unpack that, who's Nicodemus and why is he visiting Jesus at night? We remember that Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. He came under the cover of darkness to not be outed. He made the good confession that Jesus was from God. And in this discussion with Nicodemus, Jesus showed us how we enter the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To know God is to be born from God. Jesus references holy baptism here. We go over to Matthew 28 for the Great Commission to see how this all works. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the invocation we taught the kids this morning. To be born again is to be washed with the water and the Spirit. Note this personal touch. Jesus saved what has become one of the most quoted scriptures out there for a one-on-one conversation. This is the highest private teaching moment recorded in the scriptures. And through his word in the scriptures and sacraments, Jesus comes to each and every single one of you directly. Jesus cared for all on the most macro of scales. His death paid for the sins of everyone. But he also slows down and teaches with patience one-on-one. He deeply cares for each and every single one of you. He's not too busy to slow it down and visit with you. He visits with you when you listen to his word in the Gospels. He listens to you when you communicate with him in prayer and you receive his forgiveness and holy absolution and feast on his very body and blood in the sacrament of the holy altar. So, in answering Nicodemus' question, how can these things be? Jesus gives us insight to the love of God the Father, our salvation found in the Son who saved us, and the work of God bringing new life through the Holy Spirit. We confess the Holy Trinity, God the Father who made us, God the Son who saved us, and God the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the true faith. It's in this true peace and joy we are able to answer Jesus' call of follow me by the Holy Spirit working in us through the merits of Jesus Christ to receive the temporal and eternal blessings of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.